of Jesus a month ago, it's always a little curious that we don't know much about the early years of Jesus. We know that he was circumcised on the eighth day. On the 40th day, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple to be dedicated as part of the purification rite for the new mother. When he was 12, we remember the story of him wandering away from his parents. Mary and Joseph found him in the temple, engaged in conversation with the temple's teachers. And then, he's an adult, just like that. After that hanging out in the temple episode at the age of 12, the gospel picks up his story when he's about 30 years old. That's when Jesus sought to undergo the ritual of baptism. In particular, he wanted to receive it from a traveling preacher we know as John the Baptist. John's message was simple. He preached that God's long-awaited Savior was coming, and people needed to take stock of their lives and probably shape up. John's message, simple. Repent. Which means to turn away from what's bad or to turn toward what's good. Being baptized was a way of signaling one's sincere commitment to repentance. John wondered why Jesus would seek baptism to signal his desire to take stock of his life, but Jesus wanted to. John baptized Jesus, and the Holy Spirit filled Jesus even more. And then we get to the temptations, not the classic Motown group, the wilderness experience. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all report that the same Spirit that enfolded Jesus when he was baptized now led him away from the life-giving waters of the River Jordan, out into the wilderness. Expansive, arid, rugged, barren wilderness. Rocks. Dirt. Rocks on dirt. Occasionally some succulent weeds, maybe some scrub brush like the so-called broom tree. Here and there an actual acacia tree. Sheep and goats could find something to nibble on, but nothing we would consider a fruit or a vegetable. Other than occasional caves, little shelter from the daytime sun or the nighttime chill, wildness was the specialty of the wilderness. No wonder locals believed that the wilderness was the home of evil spirits. And that seemed to materialize for Jesus. A spirit tempted him. Over the centuries, that tempting, testing spirit has become personified as Satan or the devil or the tempter. Why would the Holy Spirit put Jesus in the path of temptation? Wouldn't it be helpful if we could know why Jesus had to endure temptation? Well, one way to understand it is that through these temptations, Jesus discerned how he was going to go about encouraging people to follow him to a life of faithfulness. The tempter suggested that the fasting, hungry Jesus change stones into bread. And if he could do that for himself, he could endear himself to the masses by meeting people's need for daily bread as well. And then the tempter prodded the unknown Jesus to prove he had an inside track with Almighty God. prove it by hurling himself off the pinnacle of the temple, since God was certain to send protecting angels to assure that harm never came to his beloved. And then the tempter enticed the unestablished Jesus to acquire an instant power base in all the kingdoms of the world simply by worshiping and submitting to the power of the tempter. Now, in all three instances, Jesus resisted the temptation. He responded to the tempter with strength, conviction, with faith found in words of Scripture, even when Satan tried to twist Scripture to his own deceitful purposes. So that's one way we can understand the episode of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. It showed the method Jesus chose to proclaim the good news of God's love, not by miracles or manipulation, but by connecting with people face to face, listening, caring, reaching out with empathy and acts of kindness. First to 12, and then to dozens, then hundreds, then multitudes. The experience of those temptations confirmed how Jesus wanted to live. That's one way we might appreciate that biblical episode of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And there's another way that might be helpful. As people who claim to want to follow the example and to be shaped by the teachings of Jesus, we face temptation every day. Our temptation? Conformity. Conformity. We're pressured all the time to give in to society's subtle, seductive temptation to be self-centered. Let me think of it first. Advertising bombards us constantly with messages urging us to spend money on services and products. They try to assure us that it's okay because, you know, we deserve it. Stand in line for the newest cell phone, even though your current one works fine. Or that big vacation. So what if we're paying off the credit card bills for it 7 months after we get back? Our culture pressures us to conform to the pressure put on ourselves above everybody else, to do what we want to do with the money we have. And then peer pressure pushes us to do what we can to keep up with the Joneses. And by the way, I feel sorry for anyone named Jones. Surely they don't deserve to be singled out by that old adage. But peer pressure, though unspoken, peer pressure is powerful. Join that club like they did. Lease a new car like they did. Be sure your kids get into that special program like theirs did. Even our privilege of government of, by, and for the people is affected by the temptation to be self-centered. Think of a time when you opted to support or oppose a particular referendum or candidate because of how it would affect you personally rather than because how you felt it would impact the common good. Yeah, none of us probably would have to think too hard to come up with an example. Society tempts us to be more concerned with what's in our own personal interest, even at the expense of the common good. And yet that's not what we learn from Jesus. Let's remember how he responded to each of those temptations he experienced in the wilderness, each time quoting from the book of Deuteronomy in the Hebrew Scriptures. First, Jesus said, "We don't live just on daily bread, but on every word that God speaks." And Jesus wasn't referring just to what God says in words of Holy Scripture. We live by God's word that spoke creation into existence. We live by God's word that breathed the spark of life into this lump of human clay. We live by God's word that gave us knowledge of our existence and God's existence. We live by God's word made flesh. God has claimed and redeemed us in the person of Jesus the Son. Then to the second temptation, Jesus responded, "There's no need to test God." Why? Because God's care is not in doubt. If we know God cares for us, there's no reason to check just to be sure. And to the third temptation, Jesus said quite simply, "Worship and serve only God." And so, in review, first, in every way we depend on God. Second, we have no reason to test God. Third, so we worship and we serve God. That's what Jesus proclaimed in undergoing the trials in the wilderness. That's how Jesus calls us to respond to a world that wants us to conform to its values by embracing self-centeredness rather than devotion to God's way. Here's what St. Paul wrote to the Christians who were living in the midst of the power and wealth of the Roman Empire. In Romans chapter 12, Paul cautioned, "Do not conform yourselves to the standard of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of your mind. Then you will be able to know the will of God, what is good and is pleasing to Him and is perfect." Compromise with the ways of the world is a continuing seduction. It is indeed difficult for us to worship and serve God only. That's why we strive to embody the testimony of Scripture. We've seen that when Jesus was faced with temptations to adopt the ways of the world, He used Scripture to guide His path, to strengthen His resolve. When we leave this sanctuary and face the temptations to conform with the ways of the world for the other 167 hours of the week, the verses we heard earlier from Emily that she read from the letter to the Hebrews can be our guide and strength. Here they are in a contemporary translation. "Now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to Him and get what He is so ready to give. Take the mercy. Accept the help. Don't be tempted to conform." Amen.